Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Navadip Dham ki jai, Ganga Jamana Tulsi Bhakti Devi ki jai, Anana Gauri Vaishnava Rani ki jai, Samavetta Bhakti Rani ki jai, Gopremanandi, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Guranga, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishvadaya Krishna Prasadaya Shri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste, Saraswata Devi Gauravani Prasadane, Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pashtata Deshatarane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gauravakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, verse, chapter 11, verse 35. Yasa Yalakshanam Proktam. Pungsa varna abhivanjakam yadanyatra pijaseta tattena vinirdishet. Yasya, of whom, yat, which, lakshanam, symptom, proktam, described, pungsa, of a person, varna abhivanjakam, indicating the classification, yat, if, anyatra, elsewhere, api, also, drisyeta, is seen, tat, that, tena, by that symptom, eva, certainly, vinirdishet, one should designate. Translation of one shows the symptoms of being a Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra as described above. Even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. Purport here and is clearly stated by Narada Muni that one should not be accepted as a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra according to birth, for although this is now going on now, it is not accepted by the Shastras, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chacha, Varna, Mayashristam, Guna, Karma, Vibhaga, Saha. Thus, the four divisions of society, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, are to be ascertained according to qualities and activities. If one was born in a Brahmin family and has acquired the Brahminical qualifications, he is to be accepted as a Brahmana. Otherwise, he is considered to be a Brahma Bandhu. Similarly, if a Sudra acquires the qualities of a Brahmana, although he was born in a Sudra family, he is not a Sudra, because he has developed the qualities of a Brahmana. He should be accepted as a Brahmana. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to develop these Brahminical qualities. Regardless of the community in which one was born, if one develops the qualities of a Brahmana, he should be accepted as a Brahmana. And he then may be offered the order of sannyas. Unless one is qualified in terms of the Brahminical symptoms, one cannot take sannyas. In designating a person as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, birth is not the essential symptom. This understanding is very important. Here in Narada Muni, distinctly says that one may be accepted according to the caste of his birth if he has the corresponding qualifications, but otherwise he should not. One who has attained the qualification of a Brahmana regardless of where he was born should be accepted as a Brahmana. Similarly, if one has developed the qualities of a Sudra or Chandala regardless of where he was born, he should be accepted in terms of those symptoms. Let's end the Bhaktivedanta purports of 7th Canto, 11th Chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Perfect Society for Social Classes. Translation of: one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra as described above. Even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. So here we have a directive to indicate how these classes are formed, who's in what class. Now normally it goes by jati, that is birth. So one born in a Brahmin family is a Brahmin, one born in a Kshatriya family is a Kshatriya, etc. That's the commonly accepted form. Here we find that there is another rule, that if someone shows qualities of a different varna, then he has to be accepted in that varna. So according to lakshanam, or qualities, one determines the varna. This is a little bit controversial from the normal point of view, where so many of the Smriti Shastras, like Manu Smriti, emphasize the birth as being very important. Generally we find that is emphasized even in society nowadays. But here we find that according to the lakshana, or the qualities, one determines varna. And if a person is born in a certain varna by family, but he doesn't show those qualities but the qualities of another varna, then he should be classed in that varna. So this is a little bit revolutionary or something from the standard point of view. So this is one concept that Prabhupada always presents, quoting Chaturvarna Mahasistam, Guna Karma Vibhaga Saha, divided. Varnas are divided according to guna and karma, qualities and activities. What is the relationship between birth and qualities, activities, etc.? In other ages, we can say the birth largely determined the qualities and consequently the activities. Because of unmixed classes and proper samskaras, etc., and proper education. Kali Yuga is a little different because varnas are disrupted, mixed marriages take place, education is not given properly. There's a big problem in conveying through family lines the proper qualities, because the educational system to go along with it and the samskaras are not intact. The jati or the birth takes much less importance. And therefore, there will be more a dependence on qualities. We look at the qualities of a person and then we decide. However, qualities themselves do not manifest fully and are not fixed until a person reaches maturity. So therefore, it's very difficult to classify children. And once they're grown up, then we can say, well, these qualities are the nature of a person. So we can only determine after they've matured somewhat that how to classify them according to qualities. But as I mentioned, qualities are also affected by, are influenced by education, upbringing, etc. So, if a person is educated in one way, he will develop one type of quality. He's educated another way, he gets another type of quality. So, traditionally in the Vedic culture, if a child went to the Gurukul, then they would develop qualities naturally, brahminical qualities, especially if they're Brahmins. In Kali Yuga, if they don't go to the Gurukul, what brahminical qualities will they develop, even if they're born in a Brahmin family? So how many Brahmins go to a Gurukul? Maybe one out of a million, maybe? I don't know. What is it? Out of all the Brahmins in South India, how many go to a Gurukul? Maybe 500? 1,000, maybe? And how many Brahmins in South India? I don't know. So anyway, and not very many. 0.1% maybe go to a Gurukul. The others, what do? They go to regular schools, they get regular jobs, etc. Regular education, etc. Which is not particularly brahminical, we can say. So we cannot expect that the brahminical qualities will fully manifest in such a person. May have a propensity, but it's not fully developed because no proper education is there. The other thing, of course, is environment. So in traditional societies, the environment was quite restricted. Into village or town or whatever, into groups or whatever. In the modern society, it is all disrupted. And everybody travels everywhere and does everything. And nobody stays in the family. They're all apart, separate now. So going around the world. So environment also is a big problem. It influences. So in other words, Sangha influences a lot. And that takes place all the way through youth and education, etc., until adult, and then even in adult times, working, etc., associations, all haphazard. So, in Kali Yuga, the whole classification becomes somewhat meaningless because nobody's got the goal, even the goal of cultivating qualities of a particular varna. So they can claim birth, but actually they don't make it their goal to cultivate those qualities, and consequently those qualities do not manifest properly. So the varnas do not really function properly at the present moment. So anyway, if a person in one family who develops qualities of another thing, then he must be classed according to that, and then he should be engaged according to that particular varna. Now in Kali Yuga, even this is not very, this rule cannot be applied too nicely because which varnas are intact? And who's there to teach cultivation of qualities in different varnas? Very difficult to do. And so, in other ages, yes, it could be done. However, we'll see in other ages, this rule here stated would be more of an exception than a rule because, as I said, the educational system was intact, the environment was controlled, and the samskaras were intact, and the mixed marriages did not take place in such quantities. So therefore, there's more likelihood that the jati would be useful in determining the qualities of a person if he went through his education properly. But even then, we will find exceptional cases. So we will find that Rishabhadev's sons, some of them, which is basically a Kshatriya family, he himself became a great sage, but a Kshatriya family, some of the sons became sages, brahminical. Some became Kshatriyas, and they ruled the world. So we'll see cases like that where one family line of a certain jati will produce different types of people. So in this way, there is some flexibility within that system of birth, even in previous ages. And in Kali Yuga, nobody has any lakshana according to standards. And therefore, we can say that it becomes the main element if we want to determine varna of a person. Because the system itself of education and environment is not intact. So, in relation to the Vaishnava, of course, this also makes sense. We have verses showing that if one becomes a devotee of the Lord, then he is actually beyond the varnas, because his karmas are all being destroyed. So in extra devotion, Rupa Goswami quotes from Bhagavatam to show that Parabdha karmas are destroyed. So if a Chandala or low-class person who's not even in the Varnashram system performs bhakti, then he destroys all of his Parabdha karmas, which means he destroys his birth as a Chandala or whatever. So that's no longer there. So what is he? Chandala nature is destroyed. Yeah? So he says he can do the activity of a Brahmana. He has the right to do the soma sacrifice. But of course, that doesn't mean that he just raises sattva guna. It actually means he destroyed all karma, so he's beyond the gunas. But he can take up any activity of any varna. So that goes well with this, which shows flexibility of varna anyway. So the Vaishnava, therefore, being freed from the gunas, and freed from all the qualities of the gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas, and therefore free from all the varnas, therefore can do any activity of the varnas, but he should do so without attachment. Therefore the Vaishnava attitude towards the whole system is flexible. And here we see that flexibility also inbuilt within the system. So when Bhagavatam says that the Chandala can do the activities of a Brahmana, this doesn't mean that we're trying to limit the person and say that, okay, the Vaishnava is Brahminical, which would mean the Brahmana, the Vaishnava is in sattva guna. So it's a praise in one sense that we got sattvic Brahmanas, but in another sense it's a criticism, because the Vaishnava should be beyond sattva guna. He shouldn't be bound by the gunas. He shouldn't be attached to sattva gun. Those who are bound by sattva gun go to heavenly planets or go to Brahmaloka. Or they strive for jnana and liberation. But a devotee doesn't do that. So to be trapped in sattva gun is also not the goal of a Vaishnava, because that will limit him to the material world or to liberation. And that's not what the devotee aspires for. So, therefore, we should not think that by doing Brahminical activities, a Vaishnava is limited to sattva guna, being a Brahmana. That's not his goal. That's not his end. His final goal is simply to serve the Supreme Lord. So, being a Brahmana or whatever for a Vaishnava is simply an aspect of his advancement. That because he is a devotee of the Lord, he's actually beyond all varnas. But for particular duties, he can participate in that system. So that's not a limitation. It's simply serving a certain role for a particular purpose. So he can do Brahminical activities or whatever. Because he is more highly qualified as a devotee. At the same time, the Vaishnava should not be attached to Brahminical activities as such. Because if he becomes attached to those activities, that also is an obstacle. The attachment should be for devotional activities, activities of bhakti, not Brahminical activities. So, therefore, the devotee also has to be careful that he doesn't become absorbed in Brahminical life. He has to emphasize the angas of bhakti, or the activities of bhakti. In that, the rules of a Brahminical life are favorable to bhakti because they create standards of sense control, etc., they're favorable. They're more favorable than the kshatriya rules, which are a little more liberal, or the rules for a vaishya or a sudra, which are more liberal. Yeah? So therefore, the brahminical rules of sense control are more favorable for the devotee. If the devotee is to do or participate in some of the rules of varnashrama, preferably he follows the brahminical rules as far as sense control is concerned. As far as other duties, so many duties are there for the Brahmin. He should do his sandhya vandana, he should worship devatas, he should do so many things. But then on the other hand, we say, well, a Vaishnava shouldn't worship devatas. The Vaishnava has the choice of not doing those devata worships, or if he does so, he does so in a very detached way, understanding they're only servants of the Lord, and does it out of duty rather than attachment. And then it's permissible. But the Vaishnava should spend most of the time in direct devotional activities like hearing, chanting, remembering, devotional association, deity worship, etc., rather than on other brahminical activities which may occupy his day. Therefore, the Vaishnava has to be careful to balance these activities and not be attached to the brahminical side of those things. So, in that they're favorable, yes, he can do, and he does it without too much attachment. This concludes this chapter on the system of varnas. And as I mentioned, this is the system karma yoga for people in general, because people in general are interested in maintaining their material bodies. So therefore, this is the system that is given for people in general. It is superior to other social systems in the world, which may be there, because it's given by the Supreme Lord, instituted by his servants, the Manus, and their descendants. And it is also linked with worship of the Lord. Though it is a minor element, it is still linked to the Lord, and its goal ultimately is to proceed to bhakti. In that sense, it is superior to other social systems, if followed properly. Though the Bhagavatam is presenting bhakti as the highest principle that we should do, these other processes like karma yoga are related to bhakti in that they provide a stepping stone for some people who are not so advanced. But as I mentioned, in Kali Yuga, even that is not a very practical process, because the stepping stones are all broken and you can't progress gradually from karma yoga to gyan yoga to astanga yoga and get to bhakti. Not there. And so better simply to rely on bhakti and whatever we can take from the other yogas which are favorable, we can also do, provided they don't obstruct bhakti. So that is the principle followed for the Vaishnava. It's the same for a person like Ajamil, who accidentally chanted the name of Narayana and destroyed all of his karmas, etc. But it didn't look like it was beyond his karmas. So in many cases, the appearance, the external appearance will remain, even though technically speaking, the karmas and everything is actually destroyed. The other point, of course, is that if there are aparads, the process may be gradual or slower, and therefore we have, Anartanda Vritti, Nishtaruchya Sakti, Bhava, Prema, different levels for which gradual destruction of karmas and ahankara take place. So that's a gradual one. So the gradual process is for people who committed aparad, so therefore it becomes a little slower. If there's no aparad, then it is a much quicker process. But even then, it may appear that the person is still in the gunas, as in the case of Ajamil. So though all the karmas are gone, there's an appearance of karma which is kept or preserved by bhakti itself or by the holy name. So in other words, bhakti hides its powers by preserving some appearance of external appearance of karmas or whatever for a devotee, even if he's got his karmas destroyed, as in the case of Ajamil. And the other case, of course, is that gradually, if one commits aparad, they're not all destroyed. There's a mixture going on, and gradually one becomes purified. But we cannot negate or deny the statements of Bhagavatam, like the Chandala does bhakti, and immediately all his karmas are gone, and he's qualified for the Soma Yagya. If we start interpreting that, that is offense to the holy name. Artavad. To think that the glories of the holy name are exaggeration. So we cannot do that. So therefore, we have to take it literally that, yes, karmas are destroyed. Well, innate qualities, there's two types of qualities. Innate, we would think, are qualities that are natural to the soul. So those are a little different from what we think are innate qualities, which are, we can say, secondary qualities which may manifest from the Atma also in terms of preference one way or the other. Innate qualities are he's conscious, he's eternal, he's a knower, he's a doer, etc., which never changed in the jiva. Other qualities will change. In one lifetime, the jiva may have a preference for enjoying one thing, and in the next lifetime, enjoying something else. So that is temporary. That's not innate. It may look like innate because in one lifetime it may be prominent and he cannot give up that attachment. So from the soul then it emanates to the mind and whatever in the subtle body and it resides there. And then it may be a quality that is prominent in the subtle body, not actually in the soul even. So innate is not actually such a good word to use in terms of material qualities, because it could be just something in the mind which is not innate, because that's changeable all the time. Or it could be a temporary manifestation of desire in the jiva himself, which is also not innate as such, it can be changed. So the process of bhakti is to change the desire of the soul completely from enjoyment to giving enjoyment to the Supreme Lord. That is the process of bhakti. So, therefore, we cannot say that the desire to enjoy in the material world is innate, and that all of the person's very tough qualities they cannot change now are innate. We shouldn't say that, because bhakti should change them all. Say the same thing about, it's in Sanskrit originally, so you should know Sanskrit, and therefore Prabhupada's writing in English, so how does it, he's writing a purport in English, so how does that work? Or we translate the books into all languages, do they have any potency at all? So there's a yes and no there, and there's a yes and no even for Sanskrit. It loses its potency if it's delivered by the wrong person. So Harikatha becomes like the milk touched by the lips of a servant if it comes from is spoken by a non-devotee. It loses its powers, or at least its powers are mixed with the poison, with material things. If it comes from the lips of a devotee who has faith in the Lord, then it maintains its nectar, its true nature, and it nourishes one spiritually. But I'm saying that words are words, and they may have potency or no potency, according to if it's a devotee or not a devotee. That's all. The same with Sanskrit. Even if you speak in Sanskrit to everybody, it doesn't have more potency. If it's spoken by a demon or a materialist, it has zero potency. And if you can't understand Sanskrit, you can't understand English, but a devotee speaks, then it has potency. And if it's not spoken by a devotee in English, also it doesn't have potency. So it's not a matter of the language, it's a matter of the devotee.
Or maybe that person
is very attached to his place, maybe language. Well, that's okay, but there may be attachment, or I may just know any other language. But the idea is not so much the language, it's the person who explains the Bhagavatam. And if he's a devotee, then it should have potency.
Okay.